Why do you wait, dear brother? How many people do you know that have a habit of procrastination? I can be the worst procrastinator around. It's not so much that I don't want to get started on a project as it is that I start on a project and run out of time before I finish it and then never go back to it. So I have a lot of unfinished projects that I just keep putting off doing. I'm reluctant to start the process to necessarily finish the task. Many people fail to do something that they know that they should do or that they know that should be done simply because they are apprehensive about the outcome. Most of the time, once this task is accomplished, they realize that it wasn't so bad after all. What is it about human nature that makes us want to wait until the last minute to do things? Well, we're not alone. I thought of an illustration. Have you ever seen a cat sneaking up on a squirrel? The cat creeps up and he's real low to the ground and he's sneaking up, and every time the squirrel turns away, he makes his move and he moves a little bit closer, and eventually the squirrel is looking at him and he knows he's coming. And sometimes the squirrel will even sit up on his hind legs and he'll look at that cat, and that cat just gets real low to the ground. Acts like he can't see him. And the squirrel goes back to his digging and messing with his digging for acorns or whatever it is, and waits until the very last minute. And when the cat decides to pounce, the squirrel runs at the last minute up the tree and runs to safety. Why did he wait until the last minute to run? Why didn't he just, as soon as he saw the cat, run up the tree and get out of the way? He almost like he's tempting him, but it would be better safe than sorry. Just get up the tree and get it over with. Get out of the way. Sooner or later, that squirrel will wait a fraction of a second too long and will end up cat food. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today." Good advice, but very difficult to follow. Surely procrastination has been around as long as all of us can remember, and obviously has been around at least since 1790, because that's the year that Benjamin Franklin died, so we know it's been around that long. But I believe that the mentality goes way back a lot farther than that. Let's go to Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 18, Acts chapter 26. Verses 12 through 18, Paul is telling King Agrippa about his conversion, and he's relating this to him about this conversion that he had, this experience that he had on the road to Damascus, how that he saw this light from heaven and that it shined around him and that he heard this voice from heaven, verses 15 and 16. "And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee.'" He goes on to tell King Agrippa that Jesus sent him on a mission to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And it says in verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." He says, "I obeyed the vision. Jesus came to me. I saw him in this vision. He came and he told me that you need to go out, and I obeyed that mission." So he tells King Agrippa that his message to all was that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Verse 23 of that passage. That he would be the first to rise from the dead. And he relates his story. And he can tell that as he relates this story, that King Agrippa listens to him. That King Agrippa is hearing what he's saying. He's paying attention. But while he's making this proclamation, there's a man named Festus that interrupts, and he accuses Paul of losing his mind. He says, "Much learning doth make thee mad." Verse 24. Festus saying, you're out of your mind. You've been studying too much. You've been hitting the books too hard. You've lost your mind." But Paul responds by telling Festus that he's telling the truth. And he basically looks at Agrippa Verse 26 and 28, verse 26 through 28. For the king knoweth, he's telling Festus, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. In other words, he understands it. His mind has been opened to these things. He has been enlightened. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Many preachers like Paul teach and preach the gospel. Some immediately respond. Sometimes the words of the Bible fall on deaf ears. But then sometimes there are those like King Agrippa who really want to believe and obey the gospel but are not quite persuaded. If we back up just two chapters, we see that while Paul was being held a prisoner, there was another man who not only heard Paul preach, but he actually sent for Paul because he wanted to hear what Paul had to say. Have you ever had one of those people that you like being around? Yeah, invite him too. I like this guy. This is what this man did. He wanted to hear what Paul had to say, so he would call on Paul to come up and amuse him, so to speak. He wanted to hear him. This is found in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, the man's name was Felix, and he too was almost persuaded of the gospel of Christ. Felix liked Paul and even told the captain of the guard to loosen up the restrictions on Paul so that Paul could have visitors, so that his family could come around, so that they could come around. He was kind of a groundskeeper, so to speak. Paul could not leave as being a prisoner, but he had people that could come and go as they please and come and see him, because Felix had made that provision for him so that he could exercise those liberties. But it says in Acts 24, verses 24 and 25, Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, it says, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. It says that Felix trembled when Paul preached to him and Paul taught him the gospel. He thought about it in his mind. He meditated on those things, and he thought about the righteousness and temperance and the judgment to come. Those are the things that Paul preached to him. And as he pondered those things, it caused him to tremble. You ever see something give you chill bumps? You ever see something that makes you just, oh, that's scary. Oh, I don't know if I could do that. Oh, I feel bad for that person. This man was moved inside of himself to tremble at the thought of losing in the judgment. He reasoned with himself. And then he turns around and says, go your way. I will call for you when a convenient season. When it's convenient for me, I will call for you. Felix procrastinated in the most important decision he would ever make in his life. And as far as we know, he never did make that decision. Acts chapter 24, verse 27 tells us that 2 years later, he was still not convinced. 2 years later, he decided to keep Paul in prison just so he can use him as entertainment. You would think that the Apostle Paul himself could convince someone to convert to Christianity. And in fact, the records show that he did convert many souls to Christianity. In fact, there's no telling how many more have been converted just through the books of the New Testament that Paul has written. However, not only did some people reject the gospel, but some of them, after they obeyed the gospel, left and started teaching false doctrine. They started teaching their own doctrine, man-made doctrine, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Some were in danger of believing those false doctrines, and it even surprised Paul that someone would obey a false doctrine. How could you leave what you had? How could you leave this? We oftentimes see people leave Christianity and wonder, what were they thinking? Maybe their conversion was not solid. Maybe they were not convicted of their beliefs to begin with. What is it that would make someone leave what the truth of the Bible says? Their true Christianity. Paul was calling people away from paganism, false religion. And now some more were rising up and they were drifting away of their own number. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Paul here says of those people, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." I marvel, it just boggles my mind that you're so easily removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. You're removed from that to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul himself as an apostle is saying, you're so turned away by another gospel, which is not actually another gospel, but is a perversion of the true gospel. But though we, or whether we the apostles is what he's saying, whether we the apostles or even an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. With the introduction of different forms of perverted gospels, there would be more and more people who are apprehensive of accepting and obeying the gospel. The more choices there are, the harder it is to choose, so to speak. Satan will stop at nothing to stop the spread of the gospel. When Christ was crucified, Satan thought that he had won the battle. He thought that he had won. If you don't think he is behind the crucifixion, look at Luke chapter 22, verses 3 through 6. Luke chapter 22, verses 3 through 6. It says here in Luke 22, beginning in verse 3, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted with him to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." What makes us think that Satan isn't still working to keep the gospel from being spread among the people today? For many, it is an absurd suggestion to think that Satan is still trying to win. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. It says, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Many people fall into Satan's trap. Therefore, many hear the truth and hesitate. Many hear the truth of God's word and they close their Bible and I cannot walk away from what I've been taught my whole life. Perhaps it is that there is a truth there that we fail to recognize. Some people just want to reject whatever they hear because it's not what they have been taught all their lives. Have you ever been shown a better way to do something? Say, "I wish I'd have discovered this a long time ago." When someone is worshiping in false doctrine and they really understand and discover the truth, they wish they would have found it way, way sooner. "I wish I would have found this before my parents passed from this earth. I wish I would have found it before my friends died that I could have shared the gospel with them. I wish I would have found it before my children grew up and left the church and left God and left everything together. I wish I would have found the truth before then." Have you ever seen little kids who cover their ears and refuse to hear what their parents have to say? "It's time for a bath. I don't want to hear la 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 la." It's like they believe that if they don't hear their parents say it's time for a bath, then it's not time for a bath. And they won't have to do it. Obeying the gospel, we think that's absurd when we see little kids do that. Oh, you're going to grow up one of these days. You'll see. You'll have children of your own one day, and you're going to fight with them. But when we see adults do this, we think, something wrong with that person. People, adults do this all the time. They close their ears to the truth of God's word because they don't want to offend someone. Oh, I don't know. I've got my own beliefs. I can fit into this. I'm good. I got this. It seems amusing when we see a four-year-old do this, but if an adult does it, we think they've lost their minds. Somehow, people hear the truth and they have the attitude of Felix. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. I hear what you're saying, preacher. I hear what you're saying, friend. I hear what you're saying, brother. But when I have a convenient season, when it's convenient for me, I'll give you a call. When I fall into a belief or when I'm hurting or when I'm really down on my luck, I'll call for you. If you try to teach someone the truth of God's word and they refuse to listen, don't get discouraged. You're not the first and you won't be the last. Acts chapter 7, there was some that would not listen to Stephen. And Stephen was trying to preach the gospel of Christ. And he reprimanded them of being just like their ancestors because they didn't want to hear. And their ancestors had killed the prophets. So this went on before Christ ever came into the picture. Prophets were being rejected by the people. We don't want to hear them. And they stoned them. They killed them. And Stephen pointed this out. That was your ancestors that did that. You're just like them. You refuse to listen to God just like they refused to listen to God. Acts chapter 7, beginning verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Here's what he says. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and they ran upon him with one accord. They stopped their ears. We don't want to hear this. They ran upon him. They closed their ears. No, 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 no. Why did they not want to hear it? Because it was true. You know, we have the old saying, the truth hurts. He was telling them the truth. Look, your fathers killed the prophets. They had the message given to them directly from God, and they killed them for it. Now you're no better. You've seen it all come. The message has been given to you, and you reject it. It comes straight from the Word of God, and you reject it. Today, modern-day preachers can preach the same exact message of Stephen right there because we have the scriptures written down. We have the words of the apostles written down, documented. They haven't changed. They're here. They're here to stay. And the same message is here for us. And some people still stop their ears and they rush upon you. They stoned Stephen to death and he became the first martyr. Preaching the gospel of Christ, he stood boldly. The Holy Ghost came upon him and he preached. And they stoned him. They killed him. How many people will be lost eternally simply because they don't want to hear the truth for fear that it will upset the balance of their life? For fear that it will change the way they think of things? How many more have Bibles in their homes but refuse to read them? Or how many read only those verses that agree with what they've been taught all their lives? Therefore, they are not listening to the whole counsel of God and refuse to read anything else what the Scriptures teach. We know that the Bible does not contradict itself. Yet some refuse to give it a chance. They refuse to look at those things that may condemn the teachings that they've been taught. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus unto those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. with all the confusion in the world today concerning what the Bible says, it is good to know that Jesus believed that we can know the truth. But believing we can't know the truth has been around a long time as well. Look at what it says in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, when Pilate is questioning Jesus in John chapter 18, and he asks him if he is really a king. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 36, verses 36 through 38, Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." There's no greater proclamation than that. "That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault in him at all." Jesus told him that his kingdom was not a worldly kingdom. He told him that it was a spiritual kingdom. He told him he was born to be the head of his kingdom and that he was to bear witness to that truth. But in Pilate's answer, "What is truth?" He was in essence saying, "Can the truth really be known? Who can know the truth? What is truth?" Perhaps you've been waiting for a convenient season to get your life right with God. Perhaps you believe you already have, but you have not considered whether those things you've been taught were truly from God or not. Perhaps you believe that those things that you've been taught were from God, but you've never really taken a comparison and compared them to the Scriptures. Can you imagine? I know that there are people that play the lottery, and I don't know anything about that. I don't play the lottery, but I do know of people that do. And I know one thing that they do is when they have a lottery ticket and they hold that ticket up and it's got their numbers on it, one thing they want to do is they don't say, "Hey, guess what? I got the winning ticket. I won the lottery. Did you win?" "Yeah, I won." "How do you know you won?" "Well, I just can feel it in my bones." "Okay. No, really, how do you know you won the lottery?" "Well, I just got this feeling. I feel good." No, they're going to take that lottery ticket and they're going to compare it to the numbers that have been drawn. If those numbers don't match up, they didn't win. The same goes for the gospel. If you can't compare the teachings that you've been taught to the Bible and hold it up in a comparison, you're not following the Scriptures. It's not the gospel of Christ. It's a perverted gospel if it doesn't compare with what the Scriptures plainly teach. Some people close their Bibles altogether and they're not going to compare it because they've got, "I won, I feel it. I just feel it in my bones and I'm happy as long as I feel that." Do not preach to me and shatter that. Don't take away that happy feeling from me. I'm going to keep on believing the way I believe in, and I'm not going to let this mess it up. That's a dangerous road to follow. Don't be like those people that Stephen preached to. Don't be like those people that Paul preached to, that perverted the gospel. Maybe today is the time to make changes in your life before it is everlastingly too late. Maybe it is time to just open up the Scriptures and say, "Let's see what the Word of God really says. Let's compare it and let's see if it follows the teachings that I've been taught." If you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are some things that you must do. Romans 10:17 says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We have to have faith, and faith comes by hearing. We must believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You must repent. Luke 13, verses 3 and verse 5. "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Acts 17 and verse 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." We must put Christ on in baptism. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Finally, we must remain faithful unto death, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.